Welcome to the bridge. Welcome to the book of Revelation. Welcome to the series that we have entitled The End. You say, Pastor Jeff, that's a pretty intense place to start given we were just with the kiddos. How can you do that to us? Well, here at the bridge, we follow God's word. And if the motif has to change because God's word says so, then so be it. We're in the midst of a series where we are walking through verse by verse the book of Revelation, where we have the word of God telling us not only in Genesis how everything began, but in the book of Revelation how everything will end. Last week we finished the end of chapter 5, and I told you we were at that place where the rapture takes place, where the church, all of us that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, will be literally drawn up. The Bible says we will be caught up, snatched aggressively in a military kind of way, snatched up out of the muck and the mire of what is coming. We talked about it and said a lot of people don't like the reality of God's word when we get into the book of Revelation. Some people just flat out aren't interested. Other people are curious, just not committed. And most of us, if we're honest, we just get confused when we go there. And I said that we will take on the task of not just going through the book of Revelation, but personally understanding it so that each and every one of us will know what it is to be inspired by God's word. You see, most people hear the book of Revelation and they get the hair goes up on the back of their neck, or they say, oh, that's that scary part. Well, I want you to know, if you're a child of God, it is not scary. This is a love letter. Now, for some, it will be scary. And my job is to help you understand the difference and to encourage you to make the trade, to leave the one side that ought to be scared to death about the truth of what is coming, and join those of us that know what it is to have accepted the gift of grace. You see, we're not better. We haven't done anything that makes us distinctive. We are simply recipients of God's gift of grace. It's extended to each and every one of us. And my job is to help you see that gift and say, yes, Jesus, and accept it. Now, we do that by going through God's word, because if all you get is a preacher's opinion wrapped in some Bible, chances are you're going to end up off track. But if we just follow the guide, if we take the user's manual for daily living and we let it guide us, we're guaranteed of the destination if we will follow it with our heart. And so here this morning, I just want to give you some truth in advertising. I'm going to take you through the book of Revelation, chapter 6, the first 8 verses. If some of you have been in the church world and you've heard of this title called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, that's where we're going. If you've ever heard of that, we're going to the specific text where this is. And my prayer is that before we're done today, you'll be changed. Not because you've finally learned what the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse is about, but because you realize God is alive, His word is true, and we are in the end of days. Now you say, uh-oh, what are you saying, Pastor Jeff? A week from Tuesday? Next year? I don't know. Nobody knows exactly when, and beware anybody who tells you they do, because God's word says that they're a liar, they're a false prophet if they tell you they know exactly when. So I'm not telling you I know when, I just know this. We're in the last season, we're in the end of days. God's word makes it very, very clear. And we're going to spend more and more time going through there. But today, I tell you in advance, I've got a lot of media. My goal today is to show you, to convince you, if you're one of these folks that has either been a doubting Thomas, or if you felt that there's not really this need for this wacko sense of urgency that Pastor Jeff is talking about, I don't need to be a zealot. Please, would you just back off? My intention today is literally, and hear me carefully, to scare the hell out of you.
Amen.
That is why we have God's book of Revelation. As I've studied, I've come to understand this. You know, for those of us that are already believers and have a personal relationship with Christ, this is an inspiring love letter. This is encouragement to say, don't you worry. I know it looks like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's only because it is. It's part of the plan. But so that you don't get caught up in the current and think that all of a sudden God has lost control, let me show you, I have full control. There isn't anything that's happening that is outside of my will. If you will listen, if you will love, if you will pay attention, and if you will live in faithful obedience, no matter what's happening around you, I promise you'll be fine. You say, wow, that's an awful lot to try to get into one morning, Pastor Jeff. Will you tell me when we're done how we did? My prayer is that you'll hear God today and that you'll see him with a relevance that you have not seen before. Because when we talk about the book of Revelation, when we talk about end times, the tendency for most of us, especially in the West, in the Western world, is to say, yeah, that's a sometime down the road deal. That's part of that forever stuff that I never think about because it's not relevant to me. Well, I pray that before we're done today, and most certainly by the time we're done with the book of Revelation, you will have a new sensitivity to what's happening around you and where we are on the global clock. I tell you, my friends, we are approaching midnight. And I ask you as we get ready to go in, are you ready? Are you ready? Let's see what God's word has to say first in the text. And then I'm going to show you a video that basically encapsulates this passage so that you have a visual of what this is, because the book of Revelation is heavy-duty symbolism. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, what the heck is that? How's that relevant to my life, Pastor Jeff? I didn't see anybody riding a horse on my way here to this morning. In fact, let me show you the video first, and then we'll walk through the text verse by verse. This is a clip from a movie that has tried to take this book and put it into visual form. And what you're about to see covers the section that we're going to read this morning, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You're going to see a famous old actor. He's John. He's the writer. He's listening to the angel. And then he's watching as Jesus begins to break the seals of that scroll that tells how things are going to end on the earth. Watch it, take it in, and then we'll unpack it.
Look, the Messiah has triumphed. And so he will open the scroll and its seven seals.
Once more.
Here is the power of the risen Christ, the rider who wins over death.
Of bread for a worker's wages, to spread hunger and misery throughout the world,
and injustice, the fruits of selfishness.
Come.
No. now the worst scourge of them all.
What is his power?
The most terrifying power there is. The power of death. To remind the world that only in God there is life. So that man may turn to him again and praise him.
Who can stop all of this?
Only the love of him who gave his life for us. Death will not have the last word.
All right, so let's set the stage so we know again where we are. We left last week, the end of chapter 5. We're in heaven. John is in heaven, worshiping God, seeing what future heaven will be like. We're told that the church will be pulled up out of the earth because Jesus himself says, it's time. I went first as the lamb. It's time for me to go back now as the Lion of Judah. And as he begins to open the scroll and break these seals, each seal is a judgment that will come out upon the earth. We just were pulled up as children of God into heaven. And we are now at the point where we're walking through the door and Christ's judgment on a fallen world begins. Get the context of where we are. Jesus is about to come and take back what is his. And we now watch as this unfolds. And the four horsemen are the first four judgments that God is going to put down upon the earth. We have a window of 7 years. We know it as the tribulation time. Halfway through, it's going to shift from bad to worse. And literally, hell on earth is going to be unleashed. We're now about to look at what that portrait will be like. Mind you, this is not a dream. This is reality foretold. This is what is coming. I ask you again before we start, are you ready? If you're ready, you won't go through it. If you're not, you will. Here's what God's word says. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come! I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, no arrows, mind you, just a bow. And he was given, he didn't take, a crown. And he rode out as one conqueror bent on conquest. Who is this first one on the white horse? Some think it's Jesus. It's not Jesus. Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation in victory. Some think it's the Antichrist. It's not the Antichrist. This false peace bringer is who rides the first horse. We will see at the beginning of the tribulation a false peace come over all the earth. And it'll be given. It won't be taken. We know that the bow that is not given an arrow is not a weapon that is being used to assert offense. It's the threat of offense. We see the crown that is given, not taken. This false peace will come, and it'll come through conniving. It'll come through manipulation and deceit. And I ask you right now, on the world stage, is that so hard for you to see? Is it difficult to believe that in the world we live in today, that there could be deception, deceit, manipulation on a global stage? It's all around us where we sit right now. And remember, Jesus told us that you will know my time is coming. It'll be like birth pains. You'll start to see and feel the contractions. And as we get closer, so will the contractions. Well, I would say this to you, that we are in the birth pain stage right now. And the tribulation will begin, and it will take us to the next step. It's kind of like when we've had four children. We've had contractions at home for hours, sitting there watching them. But something changes when it's time to go to the hospital. Amen? God's word tells us that we are going to live with the contractions on the global stage, and you will see them. And I say to you now, do you see them? It's easy to see them. We will know it's time to go to the hospital when the church is raptured out. That will be the beginning of the Great Tribulation. We see that once the church is raptured out, the first thing that will happen is the white horse will come. False peace will come over the land. Now you say, What's that look like? Well, let me take you back in history to the late 1930s and the early 1940s. When Hitler was on the world stage telling everybody exactly what he was going to do. He wrote a book that outlined his plan. He wasn't bashful at all. He just lied. He just deceived. Do you know that in the late 1930s, the Prime Minister of England, a man named Chamberlain, went and met with Hitler after he had already made it clear what he was going to do and told the world what he was planning to do? Kind of like our friends over in Iran, letting everybody know that we are the great Satan and that their intention is to wipe our country off the map and that Israel is the little Satan and the intent is to wipe that country off the map. Do you know that Prime Minister Chamberlain said, hey, listen, don't everybody get in a tizzy. I'm going to go meet with Mr. Hitler. And he came back waving a document about promised peace. Yeehaw. No, don't anybody worry. Look, I know he says he's going to kill everybody. But he gave me a piece of paper that says that we're good. I ask you to remember that moment. Think about that as you watch your daily news. And now come to God's word and see that there will be a false peace that will come through deception and conniving. And the sad thing is it won't have to be taken, it'll be given. People will surrender over in a time that just doesn't seem to make sense to say, you know what, can't we all just get along? It'll be a global Rodney King moment. You know, group hug, forget the fact that this one says they're going to wipe that one out. Let's just all get along. Let's say we're going to have peace, okay? God's word says that will come. Now you say, I thought these were judgments, Pastor Jeff. How can you call world peace a judgment? When it's false peace, it's a judgment. Have you ever watched Animal Planet and seen the herd come under attack? I love watching how animals live out the struggles of daily life. And sometimes you'll see a lion or a herd or a pack of lions. And one group will hit the herd hard from this side, charge them. Never intending to really get anything, but driving the herd this way because they know they've got another part of their pack waiting. And whether it's the gazelles or the wildebeest, you see them run and all of a sudden they realize they got away. And they relax, thinking that they have found peace, only in reality to have come directly into the trap of the enemy that will take their lives. I tell you that the same thing holds true for we in humanity, particularly those of us in the West. How quickly we forget, how quickly we become complacent, how short-sighted we can be. The next piece of judgment that comes after this false peace, we see it now that war will come. War on a global stage. It says, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature, who, by the way, if you remember, is a cherubim. It's one of the angels sitting there in heaven saying, I heard the second creature say, come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a great sword. War will come upon the earth. It'll break out of this false sense of peace. War that will go on until the coming of Christ. War will spread unlike anything we've ever seen before. It says that man will begin to slay man. That there'll be carnage and holocaust across the world, unlike anything we've ever seen before. Now I ask you again, when one weekend ago, North Korea put 11 missiles up in the air, letting the world know that they could reach just about anybody. Knowing that you've got this proliferation of powers looking to have nuclear capacity to destroy other entire countries. Is this so hard for you to see as being in the here and now and on the cusp of our horizon? Remember now, I'm blurring the line between current events and biblical prophecy. That ought to get our attention. You see, it used to be one or the other. You could say, well, yeah, the world's crazy. Or you'd say, wow, the Bible really talks about some stuff at the end that's going to be nuts. Well, what happens when they come together? I'll tell you what happens to me is it causes me to ask people, are you ready? You see, I don't know what's going to come on the news tomorrow, but I have God's word that tells me very clearly what's coming. The only questions I'm going to have answered are the details of the timing and the faces. But I know how this plays out, and so do you if you'll listen. Some of us would say, well, again, Pastor Jeff, you just get a little too much for me. You know, a little too intense, a little too over the top. Let me ask you this. What if I told you that in 33 minutes, the eastern seaboard of our country could be wiped out? And there isn't anything any one of us or anybody in our government could do about it. And we are on the cusp of that very reality. What if I told you that? Say, ah, preacher, stop bringing in current events. Don't get political with me. Just give me the word. I am giving you the word of God. In those times, the second horse will come and he will bring war. He will bring a holocaust upon the earth. And let me just tell you, my friends, if you're not watching the news, when India and Pakistan hiccup, everybody ought to pay attention. Because if one of those dominoes drop, they're going to go like you wouldn't believe. North Korea, Israel, Iran, Venezuela. There are things going on all around us in an interconnected world that is on the cusp of what Jesus said would come. If nobody else pays attention, the Christians ought to be really, really in tune. There's a group in Washington called the Heritage Foundation. This is a political piece that I bring to you not because of what it shares in terms of a political view, but because of the reality that says this is Revelation chapter 6, the second of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This shows you just how real and how close we are. Take a look at this. It's from a documentary called 33 Minutes.
One of the most fundamental roles of government is to protect us from enemies. And right now, we are not protected.
We need to recognize the threats that are out there. And the threat of ballistic missile attack is real.
Many Americans may think that we already have an SDI program. The fact is that we do not have enough capability right now.
The longest times are typically around 30 to 33 minutes for a long-range missile from North Korea to the United States or from Iran to the United States.
Less than 33 minutes away, the whole city, their whole life could be annihilated.
I'm standing in front of Ground Zero, one of the most devastating attacks in all of U.S. history. So imagine, instead of planes, if this had been a nuclear weapon on a ballistic missile, and it had detonated just a few thousand feet above our heads.
The myth that missile defense won't work. We've heard that for many, many years, despite the evidence, despite the successes.
Time and time and time again, we've proven the critics wrong. Initially, they said that we would not be able to hit a bullet with a bullet. Well, we've gotten beyond being able to hit a bullet with a bullet. We now are able to hit a spot on a bullet with a bullet.
Evil has to be prevented. If not America, then who?
It is critical for America to lead. America is, after all, freedom's greatest hope.
So when all else fails, when all the negotiations have broken down, when there is a missile in the air, you have to have the ability to destroy it. Because the only other ability that you would have would be to apologize to those that died.
Now, I show you that again, not to take a political stand, but to wake you up to the fact that your Bible is telling the truth. The book of Revelation tells us this is coming. We ought not act surprised. I want to show you another piece. Here, you're going to see the realities of what's going on in the dynamic between our country and Iran. And again, I take no political stand with you. I don't advocate nor endorse any one political view. But I am here to wake you up to the reality of where we are on the global stage and on the eternal clock. And to show you that what is happening in the news is coming right out of your Bible. Right out of your Bible. I'm not telling you this because I want you to write your congressman. I share this with you so that you'll get down on your face before the one true Christ. Not about Congress. It's about Christ. There's only one way to get ready. Jim Elliot said, those warriors who advance on their knees never retreat. That is the way we get ready. I want to show you a piece that's come from the Glenn Beck program. A conversation he's had with a gentleman named Rosenberg, one of the most enlightened and well-informed people that combines a Jewish background, biblical understanding, political know-how and presence. He's one of these people that God has put in this time and this place to help us connect the dots. And again, if you think that this is going too far or come on, it's not really relevant, listen carefully to what's happening in our midst as we speak.
Our stance now on Iran has dramatically changed yet again. Just a few months ago under Bush, no talks ever. It had always been that way since 1979. Then President Obama said, well, let's talk with some conditions. And now the Obama administration is about to drop even that condition. Go, well, let's just talk. I mean, even if you got the nuclear thing, whatever, let's sit out and talk. Joel Rosenberg is here. Joel Rosenberg is the author of Inside the Revolution. Joel, I don't even know where to start with this one, other than, I guess, maybe with an interview that I did with Benjamin Netanyahu about 2 years ago, and I said, you guys are being set up. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, I think the world is going to start pushing towards, oh, let's just be friends with Iran. This is way before Barack Obama. And I said, they're going to lose the window. Everybody's going to push for peace. And then you're going to have to go in because you can't let these nut jobs have these weapons. And you guys are going to be deemed the bad guys and the rest of the world will pound you. And he said, well, be as it may, but we have a right to survive. You think that scenario's coming true?
It's coming to fruition, unfortunately. This is a very bad scenario right now, Glenn. You got the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, understands that there's an apocalyptic genocidal death cult running Iran right now.
Hey, God, just
they are determined to get the nuclear weapons and destroy Israel. And as we've talked about before, Israel's only the little Satan. The United States is the great Satan. And as I quote extensively in the book, the president of Iran and the top leaders of Iran really want to annihilate the United States. So the idea that we will now drop this precondition and not force Iran to stop enriching uranium before we sit down and talk is a huge mistake. I would describe it as appeasement.
Author of Inside the Revolution, Joel Rosenberg, is back with us. Okay, we were talking about why we can't let Iran get nuclear weapons. And most people will say, oh, come on, fine, you know, France has nuclear weapons. These people aren't French, at least the people currently running it. You say they're apocalyptic, genocidal maniacs? Is that what it was?
Death cult leaders.
That's right.
Death cult leaders.
Right. Explain what that means.
Yeah. Well, as I describe it inside the revolution, in quite a bit of detail, the leaders of Iran believe that the end of the world is here. They believe that the Islamic Messiah, the 12th Imam, is coming imminently. That's the word they're using, imminent. And they believe that their mission in life is to hasten or speed up the coming of the Islamic Messiah by destroying Judeo-Christian civilization as we know it.
So if I may put this in Christian terms, if you're somebody who believes in end times prophecy, you know that Jesus is coming in the 7-year tribulation and everything else, and you'd be like, you know what, I think we can get this done in 2.5 years if we can make this happen. We'll just hurry up and make things chaotic. That's what they believe, that there needs to be great chaos here. And Muslims,
right.
You know, Muslim blood flowing through the streets, et cetera, et cetera. And so they really, truly believe that it would be best for Islam and best for Allah if they would just hurry that up. Why wait?
That's the problem. We've never had a nation's leadership in any part of the world at any time in history have the death cult features that the Iran leadership has now.
True or false?
Prime Minister...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, Prime Minister Netanyahu understands this. I've talked to him about it.
I
quote him in the book. But our administration does not. And I believe a train wreck is coming between the United States and Israel over how to handle Iran. This is the worst moment in U.S.-Israel relations in 61 years.
I agree with you. And America, we cannot abandon. I mean, you cannot abandon Israel on this one. This, you have to understand the religious zealots that are over there. I don't understand why in our country, we have the left that are so afraid of anybody in a church even saying anything about, you can't say God in schools because that's just going to go crazy. But they will completely dismiss people. And this isn't all of the people in Iran. Understand this. These are the people are in charge right now, specifically Ahmadinejad. Right. And even the Ayatollah Khomeini thought this cult, which now controls their government, was so dangerous, true or false, he executed them. He wanted them all wiped out because he said, the Ayatollah said they were too crazy.
He certainly wanted them banned. And look, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I believe in end times prophecy. But Jesus' end times prophecy is that we're supposed to go out and share the gospel and try to save tens of millions of people, whereas apocalyptic Shia Muslim eschatology or end times theology says to kill all the Jews and Christians or convert them to Islam. And that's the danger, is that the current administration doesn't understand it.
So what do you do?
One of the reasons,
Joel,
I wrote the book is try to help Washington understand it.
So what do you do? What's the solution here?
Well, it depends if you're talking about the American government or the Israeli government.
American
government has to understand who is across the table, and they have to make a choice. The top experts believe Iran will have nuclear weapons within a year, year and a half tops. So,
faster.
If you're going to talk to them, you better understand who you're dealing with. But personally, I believe we're out of time. And I believe North Korea is the evidence. We've been talking to North Korea in six-party talks for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And where are we? They have their first nuclear weapon tested. They have an intercontinental ballistic missile that they've tested. 15 Iranian military advisors were at that launch last weekend. And now they're restarting their nuclear arms program. When you're talking to genocidal maniacs, talking won't work. And unfortunately, we are headed into war with Iran. Either the United States will launch it to protect Western civilization, or Israel will.
Israel will.
Unless there's an act of God, there's a crisis coming of biblical proportions.
Okay, Joel, you don't have to end it that way. Jeez, for the love of... It's not... Smile, lollipop, hey, everything's going to be great. Joel, thanks a lot. We'll talk again.
All right, so some of you are probably sitting there saying, listen, I don't need a poli-sci pastor. You know, why are you bringing current events and acting as if this political geo-global issue belongs in my church? I'll tell you this, you may not want a poli-sci pastor, but you need one. Because if you don't understand how real life intertwines with the truth of God's word, especially as it pertains to prophecy, especially end times prophecy, then you will be ill-equipped. You will not be ready. And I dread to think what that will equate to eternally. So I come to you not to make you aware of something that you need to call your congressman about, but to get you excited about, inspired to, and perhaps even broken enough to go to the King of Kings and say, Christ, help me. Please, I need you. First thing that happens is we see that false peace comes over the earth. Secondly, that peace is taken away. The red horse of blood and war takes peace away, and global strife comes, and it becomes a living holocaust. And I say to you, this happens on the other side of the rapture. It is the beginning of the tribulation. And I ask you now to look out across the globe. Look across the horizon of our time. And let me ask you, do you see that as being within our grasp? Do you realize how close we are? Let me take you to the third part. The third horse comes. It says, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, come, look. And there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like the voice among the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat for a day's wages. All you make in a day will equate to a quart of wheat. Unbelievable. And three quarts of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine. I need to give you some context here. The third one comes out and says, here comes famine. Here comes disease. You're only going to be able to buy with one day's wage a quart of wheat. And if you've got a family, we'll get you a quart, three quarts of barley. Well, here's what you need to know in that context. That's designed to say that a day's wage will get one individual's worth of food. If you have a family, you can have 3 quarts of barley. Barley is what we're fed to the animals. It had such a low nutrient value that you can get 3 of that for 1 of this. The story is clear. There will come famine across the land. There will be hunger. There will be food shortages. And we look at this and we think, well, that's Africa. Well, yeah, you know, we've seen that. I remember my dad telling me, you know, finish your plate. There are people dying and starving here and there. We don't see that as real. We don't see that as, I'm telling you, it is coming on the word of God. And it will not happen to those people over there. It will be coming on a global stage. You say, well, there you go, Pastor Jeff. You've just defeated your own argument. If you're trying to convince me that we're close to having some kind of global food shortage, good luck. I drive miles and miles and miles past all this corn and all this stuff. You know, we've got grocery store on top of grocery store. You're actually hurting your argument, Pastor Jeff. Food is everywhere. Again, let me take you to where the current events of reality today and your Bible intersect. Take a look at this.
A conference on international food aid is set to begin Monday in Kansas City. This is a top UN official is predicting a new era of hunger. Recently, over 30 countries have been hit with riots or violent protests, all because of the rising cost of food. Michelle Miller has more.
In Haiti this week, riot police turned their guns on the nation's hungry. Looting and violence that claimed the life of a UN peacekeeper capped 3 days of unrest by those who can no longer afford to eat. A food crisis with deadly consequences is spreading across the globe. The hardest hit so far are those living in the third world, on the razor's edge of poverty in places like Egypt, Bangladesh, and Zimbabwe.
While many are worrying about filling their gas tanks, many others around the world are struggling to fill their stomachs.
What we are seeing is a perfect storm.
The World Food Program blames soaring food prices on a convergence of rising energy costs, natural disasters linked to climate change, and competition for grain used to make biofuels like ethanol. Worldwide, food prices have risen 40% since mid-2007, and close to 40 countries are facing food emergencies. With 1 billion people living on less than $1 a day, the absolute minimum for survival, the crisis is beginning to threaten political stability.
A hungry man is an angry man. And I think that's what all the governments are grappling with.
The UN reports unrest in 33 countries, 20 of which have imposed some sort of food price controls. After Haiti's president cut the price of rice by 15% today, its Senate dismissed the country's prime minister.
In many developing countries, the poor spend up to 75% of their income on food. When prices of basic foods rise, it hits hard.
In some first world countries, too. At this food bank in New York City, caseworkers say shrinking supplies can't keep pace with a client base that's doubled in 2 years.
The World Food Program says it's facing a $500 million shortfall in funding this year, and the problem is still growing. Michelle Miller, CBS News, New York.
The food shortages in Zimbabwe are being made worse by the political crisis there. Southern African leaders held an emergency summit today on Zimbabwe's election deadlock. Officials have still not released results of last month's vote. Longtime President Robert Mugabe refuses to step down, though he is widely believed to have lost that election.
All right, you get the sense? Again, I'm not looking to pinpoint a time or a date. I want to open up your heart and get you sensitive to the fact that we are in what the Bible calls end times. When exactly? I don't know. Are we there? Absolutely. You cannot ignore the reality of what is going on around us with the timeliness and the details and the evidence of the prophecies of God. Let me take you to the last horse that comes out. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and the wild beasts of the earth. Okay, my friends, here's the fourth seal. One quarter of the world's population will die. Think about that. Numerically, we're talking about over 1.5 billion people will die through the effects of the wars, through the effects of the famines and the starvation, through the effects of disease or pestilence. And it says by the wild beasts, and I suspect that that would probably be through the rats that will carry disease throughout the land. Do you know that in the Civil War, more people died of disease than direct wounds? You look across the history of the world, the bubonic plague carried by rats. The result here to see is that as we come into this tribulation time, we're told it's coming. A quarter of the world's population will die. That's how bad it's going to get. And it will come through one of the primary drivers being disease or pestilence. You say, come on, Pastor Jeff, one after another. Would you give me a break? Let's talk about the swine flu. Let's talk about MRSA. SARS, the bird flu, AIDS. Disease is coming. It too will be used as an instrument of the apocalypse. And let me just say this to you. The word that the Bible calls disease or pestilence would apply directly to what would happen through biochemical warfare. You saw the guy standing at ground zero. Says, what if this were a nuclear? Well, let me ask you this. What if it were a bio-nuclear? So not only does everything get wiped out, but then disease spreads. And disease is the gift that keeps on giving. And it spreads and it spreads. Now, I ask you again, because this is not a doomsday message. I simply want to wake you up to the reality of where we are. At the intersection of current events and biblical truth. Here's something from just a matter of weeks ago, I think about 6 or 7 weeks ago now, from Mexico City. Take a look at this.
Zelensky is in Mexico City. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Meredith. We've seen those numbers go up every day since Thursday. That's when the Mexican government said the test results showed just how dangerous a situation this is, a public health emergency that in 3 days' time became global. And here in the capital, it really feels like a different place. It is so unnervingly quiet, a place where people are still dying from flu. It is a city of masks. They can't fully cover a growing but uncertain worry. Every day, more public places close, more caution taken to try to stop what no one can see. Every school in the capital is now closed. So are most bars, masses canceled, leaving people to pray outside. Even sold-out soccer matches, the most wildly popular sport in Mexico, were played Sunday in empty stadiums. No one to cheer, no spectators allowed. And not much mood for celebration. For 12 days, the family of Paula Alcicera has waited outside this hospital, where the young woman is now in a coma.
We can only see her through a window. We can't touch her anymore.
A 23-year-old healthy mother, another suspected case of swine flu. There are concerns this virus is now suddenly throughout Mexico, across the border in the U.S., north to Canada, across the Atlantic, Europe, Israel, and the other side of the world, New Zealand, where some teenagers had just taken a class trip to Mexico. But so far, this is the only place where the fear has come to death. 5 more people died over the weekend in Mexico City. We are in a critical time, the mayor said, as officials watched for flu at the border in Tijuana and among the tourists in Acapulco, many of whom in some areas were heading home early. Another reason airports the world over are getting ready to greet them. In Tokyo, machines take travelers' temperatures. Russia, China, and others will quarantine sick people coming from flu-affected areas. The World Health Organization, working to get a handle on the scope of this threat, offered a reassurance.
The world really is much, much better prepared than we have ever been for dealing with this kind of situation.
While the World Bank offered Mexico hundreds of millions of dollars in loans to help deal with an invisible new enemy for the short or long term.
All right, so the question is, what do you do? What do you do? God's word has made it clear. When the church is raptured up and the tribulation begins, there will be a false peace. It'll be snatched up and war will cover the globe. It'll be unlike anything we have ever seen before. And you can imagine right now there are some places with people with their fingers on buttons that if they pushed it, it would begin right now. There will be famines and food shortages such as the world has never seen. And I just showed you 30, 40 countries right now who are on the brink of utter despair. And mind you, a hungry man is an angry man. And what starts in the belly will lead to the fists. We're talking about a world of chaos. Is it that hard to see it coming? We have seen just a breakout of disease and threats. I got to tell you, when I first saw that thing with the swine flu, I immediately was brought to this passage and thought, Lord, is this it? Is this one of them? You hear the fourth horseman of the apocalypse is coming. Death is coming. My question to you, are you ready? Are you ready? Our family went back to Connecticut this week. We had the sudden loss of my brother-in-law. He did not wake up that morning thinking that this would be the last of his days. Nobody knows when Christ will return or their last breath will be spent. What you can know is that you're ready. I ask you, are you ready? And just in case you think that this is still too far-fetched, that, you know, you're talking about stuff that could never really trigger reality here, I want to show you one more video that's come from some radical Muslim terrorists. And I want you to just leave here today thinking not about a need to get a hold of your congressman or to become politically active, but to just alone in your heart of hearts to get with God and say, am I ready? If my breath were taken right now, or if Jesus were to snatch up the church, am I ready? Because I'm telling you, we're just scratching the surface of what's coming, and you don't want to be left behind. And if you take your last breath, there are no do-overs. You won't get a second chance. But if you would, this is a little half-made, homemade video with some reality that's come out of the terrorist community. I ask you, are you ready?
وتفكر هذه الميليشيات بضرب حتى مفاعلات نووية داخل الولايات المتحدة. الله يوفقهم. انتوا بس يقولون ارهابي قول هذا رفيجنا. ليش؟ لان هذول الارهابيين بين قوسين اتقى ناس في العالم واشرف ناس في العالم واحسن ناس في العالم. كيف؟ أربع أرطال من الأنثراكس، أربع أرطال جنطة هالكبرها يشيلها واحد فدائي ويدخلها من أنفاق مكسيكو إلى الولايات المتحدة كفيلة بقتل 330 ألف أمريكي في ساعة واحدة إذا أتقن نفرها على الوعاء السكاني هناك. مرعبة الفكرة. يعني 11 سبتمبر تطلع زلاطة عند الموضوع هذا، صح ولا لا؟ وما في داعي طيارات وشكبانات ومواعيد وقصة من المؤامرات والتوقيتات. واحد عنده من البسالة اللي يدخل معه 4 أرطال من الأنثراكس ويدخل حديقة البيت الأبيض، صح ولا لا؟ وكت عليهم النون، النون هذا صح ولا لا؟ ويبب عقبها تصير المسألة طماشة هناك.
Are you ready? No matter how you answer that question, I want you to know that the bridge is here for you. We have been called to be an equipping center. I will not allow anybody within our sphere of influence to be shocked at the gate of eternity. You may not like what you get here. You may not like what you hear, but I promise you, you'll be equipped to walk into eternity. Maybe there's too much political science. Maybe there's too much current events. I want you to know that Jesus made it very, very clear throughout all of his ministry, and the Bible is absolutely vivid with this one truth. You cannot be religious and have a home in heaven. You will not get to eternal life by being a good enough person. You cannot earn your way in. And you cannot flirt with the God of all creation. If you think that you can do it by simply having a little, just enough Jesus. Where's Matthew? Matthew had said this to me once before. I think it's absolutely brilliant. He said, most people want Jesus like they want to get a vaccination. Just enough to keep the real thing away. If that's your idea of Christianity, I have to tell you that you will be left behind if the rapture comes. And you will not have a home in heaven. Jesus makes it clear. We're to pick up our cross and follow him. He does not promise us happiness or smooth roads here. He promises us eternity. He promises us that we'll be ready and that we won't have to go through what is coming in the tribulation. He says, I give you everything, and all I ask in return is your heart. Love me with all, mind you, of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love to worship me, and I will give you your heart's desire forever and ever and ever. Anything else, and I remind you again, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:21-23, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in the name of Jesus? And he will say, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. The point being, you're either all in or you're all out. You're either a child of God or you're not. If you are, you are ready. If you are not, you are not. Please, please, please don't leave here today not knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Because you know what? I've got plans for this afternoon, but they could all be gone in the twinkling of an eye. We're on God's clock now. And everything that needs to happen chronologically for the coming of Christ to rapture out his church has been accomplished. Everything that you see on the current stage of world politics, of global powers, everything that you see is saying we are so close. Don't be left behind. Don't be caught off guard. I love you too much to let you wander through. I think one of the greatest curses on our culture and our society is we are insulated and ignorant. We're insulated in our comforts. We're fat and happy. And we're ignorant to God's truth. We don't really know what God says. Give me your time. Give Jesus your heart. And I promise you, you will be ready. Would you pray with me? Boy, Lord, not getting any easier. But I do know that this is a love letter. I do know that you have shared these things with us because you love us. And that even in the midst of what will come in the great tribulation, the fact that you have not closed a door and ended things instantly is yet another example of your love. When people say, how would a loving God allow these things to happen? Why doesn't he just come and shut down existence? It's because he loves us. And think of all the people that would be damned to hell if the door were to close right now. Jesus says, don't get caught on the other side. Come now. I continue to hold the door open. Respond to my gift of grace. Say yes. Don't be left behind. Don't act for a second like you're going to be able to say, geez, who'd have thought? How shocked was I to see that Jesus actually came and got his church? There isn't a person within the sound of my voice that will honestly be able to look up at heaven and say, I was shocked, because as of today, you know better. Please, please, please come to Christ. Please. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.